Okay, we're on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. We're going to be starting the second wide line, 4B. I don't know which number it is. It's going to start with the words Motzi Shemra Yochiach. Want to give me an extra copy? Just give me an extra, another copy. That way I can just tell you where it is.
It's okay. I like how you speak anyway.
Put little markers when you're done every day. We just fold the page in. It won't hurt the page if you fold it.
I think I know it. Here it is. Right over there. It's on 4B2 at the bottom of the first paragraph.
Okay, we're going to get to right at the top, 4B2, the top of the second column, Motzi Shemra, the laws of defamer.
Oh, up there.
That's exactly when we're going to start again. Okay? So, remember, we're having this discussion, understanding the machlokes between the in the Mishnah, Tanakama and Reb Meir, if you get lashed separately for being an Eid Zomim or not. That was the original discussion, if you recall. And then we brought a point of Ula, which sidetracked us to a second version where Ula's statement was inserted into another machlokes. We'll briefly review that, but we began yesterday. There was a discussion in the Braisa of the mitzvah of leaving over sacrificial meat, which transgresses a law of lo sosiru. You're not allowed to leave it over, but then it's followed by an asay, a positive commandment, that you shall burn it afterwards. So Rabbi Yehuda says, and Rabbi Akiva, or he said Rabbi Yaakov, remember, they both agree you don't get lashed for leaving over an osar, but there's a machlokas as to why you don't get lashed. Rabbi Yehuda said you don't get lashed because the Torah gave you a positive commandment following the negative one. And whenever you have a positive that follows the negative, it repairs the negative, that you need not be lashed. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the reason you don't get lashed over here is because we know a lav transgression that is without an action does not get lashed because it's not like the classic lav of muzzling the animals. So therefore, you didn't do anything when you left anything over. Since you didn't leave anything, you don't get lashed for that. The Gemara, that's the Braisa. The Gemara now made a deduction. Let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda say you don't get lashed? Because there's no action there. He only said you don't get lashed because there's an asse that follows the law. Must be he holds that a negative commandment without an action also gets lashed. Must be. So you have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, for a negative prohibition that is not with an action, do you get lashed? Rabbi Yehuda says, you do get lashed. Rabbi Akiva says you don't get lashed. The Gemara says, well, how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda? Because really, we should go with the classical concept from not muzzling the animal, that only when there's an action you get lashed, and if there's no action, you don't get lashed. To which the Gemara gives an answer, and that's where Ula comes into the game, second version of Ula. Ula says, no, although there may be this general concept of not getting lashed, being like the muzzling of an animal, but we learn from Motzi Shemra, the one who defames his newly married wife, where it's proved that he's a liar, that he stated falsely she was not a virgin, what happens to this fellow? He pays a monetary payment, and he gets lashed. But the point is that there was no action in what he did. He only said words. There was no action. Oh, so now we're going to see from Motzi Shemra, we can learn from that that you don't get lashed. You do get lashed even if there's no action.
Right.
So the Gemara says, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. So that. So we say, but remember, you want to learn other things from that. But we say, wait a minute, you know, sometimes it could be something has a law because it has a very stringency. So maybe the stringency over there is what? That the extra stringency, you get lashed and you pay. you get an extra punishment over there. Lash then you pay. The fact that lash then you pay makes it a much more strict thing than other things, and we could not learn from it because there's an extra stringency. To which Reish Lakish comes along and says, okay, I guess we can't learn out a negative precept that doesn't have an action that gets lashed from there, so we'll learn it. Let's learn it from Edim Zomimim, false witnesses. False witnesses, you're not doing anything, and you get lashed for it as well. So we could learn from that, you get lashed for that. To which the Gemara says, no, we can't learn from false witnesses. Why? Because they have an extra stringency. And what's that? Every other punishment in the world, you need to be warned. But by Edim Zomim, it's not possible to warn them. And still they get lashing without a warning. So we're not able to learn from Motzi Shemra. We're not able to learn from Edim Zomim. So where does this Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that the reason we don't get lashed by Nosar is because it's an lav shenitel essay, but if it would be because of an inaction, you would get lashed. Where's his source that you get lashed for a lav that doesn't have an action? That's what we're up to yesterday. So now the Gemara is going to present an interesting concept. If you can't learn from item A because it has a certain stringency, and you can't learn from item B because it has such a stringency, but maybe we can learn from the common denominator between the two, as each one does not have the stringency that the other one has, as we will explain. Remember, we did not want to learn from Motzi Shemra. He said it had an extra stringency. It pays and gets lashed. We didn't want to learn from Adim Zomimim. I'm sorry. By Motzi Shemra, we didn't want to learn from them because it lashes and gets paid. That couldn't set the stringency. We couldn't learn from Adim Zomim because there's no warning there. Okay, but let's reverse it. Do you have to give a warning by the guy who defames his wife, don't you?
Yeah.
Right? And well, let's see. And the other thing is, you don't necessarily get lashed and paid by Edim Zomim either. But let's look at the common denominator. So now we're going to say you can't learn from Edim Zomim. So he says like this. Now we're on the top of the page now. Motzi Shemra Yochiach. You have those words there right at the top of the column. Motzi Shemra, the defamer will prove that the factor of Edim Zomim is not that big of a factor. Let's take a look at this. The law of the defamer will prove that Malkus for a prohibition involving no action is not limited to sins for which the offender is punished even without a warning, because the defamer does not receive Malkus unless he was forewarned. And yet if he was warned, he does receive Malkus even though his sin involves no action. So you want to say we could not learn from Edim Zomim to learn everywhere else you'll get lashed for a non-action lav because it has an extra stringency. What's extra stringency? It gets punished even though it doesn't get warned. Yeah, but let's turn around to the defamer. The defamer gets lashed without an action, but there he has to get warned. So you see, being warned is not a factor why you get lashed even though there's no action. Because you see, by the defamer, he needs to get warned. And then you also lash. So that shows you that being warned is not an extra stringency. Because the fact that it's not being warned, because you see by the Motzi Shemra, even though he has to be warned to get the lashes, and then he'll still get the lashes, even though it's a non-action. So where do you see that? Well, I'll tell you why. By Edim Zomim, see how strict we are with them? You don't warn them and the guy gets lashed. So of course if you don't do an action, you get lashed, but that's only by that, nothing else. Because you see how strict it is. No, you don't see that, because by the defamer, he has to be warned. Doesn't have that same leniency. And yet you get lashed because it's not an action. So you see that not needing to be warned is not a factor, because you see you can get lashed even if you have to get warned. So that's not a factor. Okay, in other words, we're going to play it both one against the other. Velchozer hadin, and the argument repeats. You go back and forth. Let's go back to the first one. You could object again that the defamer has the unique stringency of being both lashed and paying, and thereby begin the same cycle of arguments and counter-arguments all over. In the final analysis, therefore, neither the zomame nor the defamer by itself can serve as a source for a general principle, since each has its own unique stringency. Nevertheless, between the two of them, we can learn that the principle of malchus for a transgression involving action is not tied to either of their unusual stringencies. Why? Because lo re'i Zachary said, the nature of this one is not like the nature of the other one. And the nature of this one is not like the other one. Meaning the defamer or the false testimony carries one unique stringency, but not the other. You follow? And therefore, what do the two have in common? We have two things. We have a defamer and we have an azomen. I'll grant you the defamer has one stringency. It gets lashed and pays. But that's not a stringency by the eitzomim. And the eitzomim has a stringency that he gets punished even without a warning. But you don't have that by the defamer. So you see, that stringency is not what does it, because the other one doesn't have the other one's stringency. So what's the common denominator between the two of them? Hatzad Hashavim, the common denominator is they both have what? Lav she'ein bo ma'isa. There's no action. Velo kina lav, and you get lashed. Isn't that the common denominator? I look at the defamer. There's no action over there. He gets lashed. I look at Adam Zomerman. There, he gets lashed. There was no action. You'll say, wait, the Adam Zomerman got lashed because he has a stringency, because he can get punished even without being warned. But you see, that's not applying by the defamer. He has to get warned. And therefore, having the warning, is not a stringency. So, well, how can I learn from the defamer? He gets lashed and he pays. So that's why we learn when it's not an action, you get lashed. No, but Beidim Zomim, that's not so. So therefore, what's the common denominator between those two? No action, yet you're lashed. So therefore, Af Kol Lav She'ein Bo Ma'isa, therefore any other case of a lav that doesn't have an action, like in a lav, you should be lashed for that as well. Here is the concept. The principle of tzad hashavah. That's a good, you should remember that term. Tzad hashavah. The common characteristic. Tzad literally means side. Shavah means equal. So the common is one of the 13 principles. You read it in the morning. That Hashem told Moshe, you want to extrapolate halacha from the Torah, look for the tzad hashavah. Where we use a different term, which you read in the morning, is called binyanav mishnei ksuvim. You read this by Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Binyanav, a general principle derived from two verses. Sometimes you can learn from one verse, but here you have to learn from two. Its application is based on the assumption that if two different cases enjoy a similar law, that law is caused by a common characteristic shared by both cases. Thus, all other cases sharing that same characteristic can be assumed to have the same law, even if they differ from each of the individual laws which serve as the model. So let's go back to our discussion here. We're trying to understand Rav Yehuda's position that he seems to hold that you get lashed for a lav she'ein bo ma'isa, and that would apply in the case of Nosar had it not been for the other svarim, it's a lav hanitik la'aseh. But otherwise, he'd say you get lashed for non-action averos. So where are we going to learn it from? He said we're going to learn it from two places. We're going to learn it from the defamer, plus we're going to learn it from Eid Zomim. How are we going to learn? Because both of those cases are non-actions, and you get lashed. Yeah. Now, we can't learn from either the one individual case. Why? Because it has a uniquely strict characteristic. Maybe sometimes you can learn from one thing. Binyanav mikosav echad. You could build a general principle from one part. A lot of times, if God says, this is the law here, you can apply it everywhere else. But if there's something unique about that case, then we can't apply it everywhere else. So there was a uniqueness by the defamer. Well, we couldn't learn the whole Torah from the defamer case. There was a different unique characteristic by the false witness. Can't learn everything just from the false witness. But the the other one doesn't share that same characteristic as the other one. So therefore, but they both get lashed anyway. So why is that? The common denominator is that there is no action. So you see, from those two cases, the common denominator of no action, you get lashed. We can learn everywhere else in the Torah that idea. Is that clear? Questions on that?
So let's make, is this a rule actually? Is going to become a rule?
This is a rule. That's going to become a rule. It is one of the 13 hermeneutic principles of the of understanding Torah. If you have, now sometimes one of the rules is one case can become the source for everything else because it's a regular case without any stringencies. And we can say, well, God showed you once, we'll apply it everywhere else. Sometimes God has one case, yeah, but I can't apply it everywhere else because I see it has other stringencies. So that's why it has this thing but other things aren't like that. But if I have two cases that have this rule, that they're going to get lashed even without an action, even though this has a stringency, but this has a different stringency, it's not because of the stringency. Because if it's for this stringency, this one doesn't have the stringency. Why does it get lashed? If it's for this one stringency, we can't learn from, but this one doesn't have that one stringency. So what's the, there must be a common denominator. What is it? No action, and you get lashed. We learned that for the old Torah Kula. That's it. Now we have one last question and one last answer to finish this little segment. Morris says, wait a minute. I found even between the two, they both have a stringency, another stringency that they too have and others wouldn't have.
Yeah.
In other words, each one had one stringency, not like the others. So he said, well, that doesn't make it a big factor because the other one doesn't have it yet. It gets lashed. But the two do have a common denominator stringency. Mal etzada shavavashem. But look at the common denominator. What do the defamer and have in common? The false witness have in common? Shekein knas. They're a fine. The defamer, the fact that he pays money. What are you paying money for? You didn't make her lose any money. He lied and said she's not a virgin. Okay. But she told the truth. She was a virgin. So what financial loss does she incur? Nothing. Why does the Torah make him pay money? That's a fine. Whenever a payment is a restitution, that's understandable. But it doesn't really restore anything, then it's a fine. So what are you paying her any money for? You lied. We're not talking about a case, let's say, by a rape, where you took away her virginity, so now you have to restore something. He just lied. And the court proves him wrong. And now the sign goes up, he's a liar, she's a virgin. Okay, so what's the reason to pay for? It's a fine, it's punitive. Edim Zomimim. Edim Zomim, we know. What do you mean? Why do we punish them? Other guy didn't do it. The other guy didn't suffer.
No action, yeah.
So it's a fine. Wait a minute. So maybe, you know what? These two cases, they get lashed even without an action because they have a common denominator and stringency, which is a fine. Okay, so that should be a reason why you can't learn from them. Okay, so that's saying that it's a knas. But that only will apply if you say that they're both a knas, right?
Yeah.
They're both a knas. That both the defamer and names of them are a knas. If you recall back on Beis Omid Beis, we said there were a number of halachas Edim Zomim, and Rabbi Akiva said if Edim Zomim admit that they were high of money for lying, they are off the hook.
They don't have to, yeah.
Why is that so? Because Rabbi Akiva held that Edim Zomim is a knas, is a fine.
Right.
And there were a couple of rabbis who agreed with Rabbi Akiva that's a fine. But guess what? Not everybody agrees to that. Hello, Kasha, that's not going to be a question, because remember, Rabbi Yehuda is the one over here by Nosar, says you should get lashed, even though it's no action. So he said, so you know what he's going to say? We're asking, what was Rabbi Yehuda's source? These two cases. All right, but these two cases are fines. So Rabbi Yehuda, lo sover lo ka Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda, who says this law, that a non-action gets lashed, guess what? He doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva that Edim Zomim is a knas. He disagrees with that. So you don't have a common denominator between the two. According to Rabbi Akiva, there might be a common denominator between they're both a knas. But Rabbi Yehuda holds it is not a knas. Mm-hmm. It's not.
So what is a compensation?
Yeah, aiding zomimim. Let's see now. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold Rabbi Akiva's view that the payment imposed on some witness is a fine. Rather, he considers a form of monetary compensation. It's a machlokes. Can be a machlokes. You only heard one side of the story. It's so good you hear the first side, you can't believe there's another side. But there can be another side. Therefore, some witnesses and the defamer do not share any common stringency, which should prevent us from deriving other prison. Now, let's see what it was to mean. It's a monetary compensation by him zomim. A payment is classified as a fine only where the sum paid is not equal to the damage committed. Yeah. Such as where the guilty party pays more than what he did. Let's say a thief. If you steal furtively, you don't pay what you stole, you pay double. So the first amount, the principal, is monetary compensation. Second one is punitive. Yeah, right, that means you're paying more than what you did, or where he pays a fixed sum regardless of the extent of the damage.
Right,
a man who defames his wife, who pays 100 shekels, whatever that has nothing to do with the damage. Zomimim witnesses, however, pay exactly what they sought to impose, and their penalty is therefore not classified as a knas. But mama, they said he stole 100 when he didn't, so he do them exactly as he wanted to do. It's specifically what they tried to do. Now, that's not such an easy sfora. You see, look what it says. Now, so therefore, it's not a fine. It's a little bit difficult to understand this logic. This requires further explanation, of course, because some are liable only if the sentence they sought to impose was not yet carried out. Thus, while it's true that the amount they pay is equal to what they sought to impose, it surely exceeds the damage they actually inflicted, which was zero. How then can their penalty be considered compensation? Now we're going deep. So now, the Kobetz Biurim, written by Rabbi Hanan Wasserman, Hashem Yinokim Domam, answers that the nature of the Hazoma punishment is that the very verdict that the Zomim caused to be handed down against their victim devolves upon their own heads.
Right.
When the verdict goes down, the verdict's there. Mm-hmm. Instead of going this way, it just goes that way. Accordingly, since for their victim, the verdict would have been a monetary payment and not a fine, if we were to accept the Eidim Zomim, who say he stole $100, and the Beis Din made the verdict already, what did they say? What did the Beis Din say? You have to pay $100 as a monetary compensation.
Yes.
That verdict is there. Had another group not proven the first group false, it would have been a monetary compensation. It's already there. So what happened is, this is an interesting way of looking at Yisomim. Yisomim means whatever the verdict was, that's what they get. So what was the verdict? Monetary compensation. You want, so now you pay monetary compensation. According to your words, pay a monetary compensation. Accordingly, since for the victim, their victim, the verdict would have been a monetary payment, not a fine, because even what they sought to impose on their victim, even if what they wanted to was a fine, right? Once the court orders the payment, it becomes a monetary obligation, different than any other. For them, too, it's a monetary. You see, this brackets is adding something very nice. Let me explain it a little clearer. Okay, the other opinion is the easier one to understand. Rabbi Akiva and company, who say it's a fine, makes sense. Yeah. On the hand that the guy never really had to pay anything. Nothing really ever happened. We're making him do something that never happened. It's a fine. But Rabbi Hanan is explaining the opinion that says it's monetary. Is it saying once you've made, the Beis Din has made the verdict, that means they say there is a monetary payment that has to be made. So now we make the Eidim Zomim do exactly what the verdict was.
Which makes sense.
Right? You understand? Yeah. What was the verdict? The verdict was monetary compensation. So therefore, we give them the verdict that they wanted, which was a monetary compensation. You'll ask, wait a minute. What if Adin Zomimim lied about a defamer, and what they wanted to give the guy was a knas, a fine? What if they lied that somebody raped a woman?
Right.
And now the payment is not monetary, it's a fine. Oh, so then that would be a fine. No, once the Bezdin says you pay the fine, the payment now, it's an IOU of monetary compensation too. So ultimately it devolves into a monetary compensation. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eiv Zom is not a fine, it's monetary compensation. So now that question we said, what was the question? How could you learn everywhere else from these two cases? They're both fines. The answer is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say Eiv Zom is not a fine, so these two do not have a common stringency. So we go back to the common denominator, which is what? There's no action, and therefore you get lashed.
So according to this, it could never really be a fine.
Adim Zomimim is never a fine.
For Adim compensation, doesn't matter.
By Adim Zomimim only. By regular, there is fines.
Sure.
A regular guy does something. He steals, he pays double. The double is a fine. No question
about Adim Zomimim.
But Adim Zomimim, their payment is always monetary, according to this opinion. So it's a machlokes. Is Adim Zomim a fine or a monetary compensation? Rabbi Yehuda, and you got to start remembering who holds what over here. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a negative action, a negative commandment that doesn't have an action gets lashed. He's going to now have to also hold that Adim Zomim is not a fine. Or else we can't learn out from Adim Zomim and the defamer. You see how you got to line up the positions over here. Okay? So now we're almost out of the woods. One last question. Okay, so what do we got? We got these two things, defamer, Adim Zomim. They only share one common characteristic, is there's no action here, and you get lashed. We learn from everything else. Even though they may have a stringency here, but they don't share the stringency. So now this next question is a really tricky one. Where's the, wait a minute. But you know what the common denominators both have in common too? They have a stringency. Even though they're not the same stringency, but they're stringencies.
Stringency, yes.
We were working at, well, they don't have the same stringency. So what, they don't have the same stringency? You know why you get lashed into an action? Because it has a stringency. Mm-hmm. And that one also has a stringency. But we can't learn from other things that don't have any stringency.
Right.
So it seems they're going to the heart of the whole idea of building up a ma'atzad, almost. Ella, that's going to be the final question. So what is, but there still is a common denominator that is a stringency. They each have a stringent aspect. Well, other things don't have any stringent aspect. Although the defamer and Zomim witnesses do not share the same stringency, they both nevertheless possess unique stringencies. The defamer pays in addition to receiving Malchus. That's an stringency. Some witnesses require no warning. That's their stringency. Perhaps then the stringency that the sinner receives Malchus, even though he did not perform any actions, is linked to the fact that there is any stringent aspect. Okay, that's the question. So what's the answer? So Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't hold to that question. Rabbi Yehuda, tzad chomer lo parech. He doesn't recognize to refute a binyan av mishnei ksuvim from the fact that something has a stringency. If there's not a common stringency, then we don't say that that's the reason that makes that happen. Let's take a look, a bit of a footnote. This will end it for us. Since the unique stringency of each law is not present in the other. Reviewer says, I don't care that this has a stringency, that, but they don't share the stringency. That can't, in other words, is the stringency what puts it over the top? That's why you're getting lashed, even though there's no action, or not? You know, we're trying to learn the rest of the Torah from these two cases. So we're going to learn the rest of the Torah. If there's really nothing so unique here, why restrict that we can't apply everywhere else? So everybody says, listen, I get it, this has a stringency. But this one didn't have this stringency. That can't be that important because it got lashed anyway. I understand this one has a stringency, but that stringency can't be so important because this one didn't have it, it gets lashed. To which the questioner is asking, yeah, but they at least have a stringency. Yeah. The tributer says, I don't care. You have one stringency. If the other one doesn't have it, then it can't be that important. Tosfos finds difficulty with the Gemara's suggested objection, Rav Yehuda's Tzad HaShavat. Has a little trouble with the question. The basic premise of the Tzad HaShavat derivation is that each stringency unique to each individual case cannot be the determining factor for the common rule. Right? That was the whole idea. If we were to, and this is one of the 13 principles. It is a principle. If we were to say, as the Gemara appears to have suggested, that the fact that each one has a stringent aspect is in itself considered a common denominator, you hear what it is. Yeah. Well, you know what the common denominator is? Even though the stringencies aren't common, but the fact that the stringency alone is common. But then you'll never have a Tzad HaShavat ever. How can you ever have learning from two?
Yeah, well.
See, this is a punishment and this is a punishment.
So Tosfos suggests that our Gemara does not mean to say simply that they share the common characteristic of having a stringent aspect. But rather, that they share the common characteristic of having a highly unusual stringent aspect. Yeah. Whereas there's a stringency and then there's a big stringency. Being subject to double penalties of malchus and payment and not requiring a warning before being corporally punished are stringent aspects are not found anywhere else in the Torah. In other words, there's a stringency and a big stringency. So the fact, hey, you look at the entire Torah, you got to be warned before you're punished. The whole Torah. And you got one case not like that. And so, whoa, that's not just a little old stringency. That's a big stringency. You don't find anywhere else in the Torah you're going to get double punishments. You get lashed and you pay money. You don't find it anywhere except by the defamer. That's not a little stringency. That's a big. So the question I thought, if it's a big stringency, you don't say the common denominator. The Jews said, I don't care, small or big, it's still a common denominator, and that's that. And that ends this interrupting sugya, where Bekitzer, we now have shown, Rabbi Yehuda, we have a big machlokes. Do you get lashed for a negative precept that does not have an action? Chachamim say, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes. Right? Why does the Chacham say no? Rabbi Yaakov and the others say no, because it has to be like muzzling the animal. Muzzling animals in action get lashed. If you don't do an action, you shouldn't get lashed. What's his source? It comes out the source of Rabbi Yehuda is the two cases combined, the Tzad HaShavat, the common denominator of the defamer, and the Edim Zomim, the common denominator, makes it that they get lashed without an action. So everywhere else they get lashed without an action. He also has the Sefer Yehuda holds that Edim Zomim is not a knas. Because if it is a knas, then the two have a common denominator of being a fine. Yeah, so he has to say it's not a knas. So therefore, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the unique opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And then tomorrow we go back to our original discussion of the machlokas, the rabbis, and Rav Meir of our case of Edim Zomim, which we'll pick up tomorrow.
Can I ask a quick question?